This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 311 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, once again from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you? That's about how I feel too.
I'm as tired as a tired man that's really tired.
Right.
The second last day of school holidays, my friend.
And
they have wearied me.
Yeah.
I'm run down to the bone.
Oh, you guys don't have Monday as a public holiday because you've got tomorrow as a public holiday.
Yeah. I think they might have Monday off as well, quite from just quite. I think the school kids do.
See, New South Wales, Queensland, South Australia and Tassie, I think it is. Monday's a public holiday for Labor Day, I think it is.
Oh, our Labor Day's in May.
Yeah, right.
How weird.
Yeah.
Somehow I think Victorians
score a couple of extra public holidays above and beyond the rest of the country.
Well, we have the really important public holiday for the horse race.
Yes, and one for the grand final.
And
apparently.
Now it's started important, the first one ever for the football game. So
I was going to say, I don't remember.
And they bring out the public holiday for any week with a Friday in it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, I didn't remember Melbourne having a public holiday for the AFL.
A new elected politicians, and one of the ways they talk themselves in is, if you put us into power, we'll give you another day off. It seems to appeal to the masses.
It's so Australian, isn't it?
It's just cost the country who knows how many hundreds of millions of dollars of lost production, but that's okay.
Exactly.
We're going to footy. It's all good.
That's it.
Oh, man. What a weird world. How's your week of mixing been going?
Oh, mate, it's been great. This week we're focusing purely on the music because all of the other stuff is done.
Yeah.
So, Chad recorded a 20-piece live orchestra. He wrote all of the musical cues.
Did they know he was recording them? Or it was just like an audio device to a concert or something?
No, he wrote all of there are 12 little musical cues. Each one is, actually, I think all of them, except for the closing credit sequence, are shorter than a minute. They're all fairly short pieces. He wrote all of them and performed them in MIDI software using actual audio samples. So they sound like real instruments, but whenever you play stuff via MIDI, it never sounds like real people playing instruments because the attack is wrong, the decay is wrong, the sustain is wrong, the velocity of the notes is wrong. So anyway, he got halfway through it and decided, if I'm going to do this properly, I really should hire an orchestra. So he went and booked a church in Seattle, hired a 20-piece orchestra, printed out all of the sheet music from the MIDI stuff that he'd written so that the orchestra had the same music to perform and he then recorded this 20-piece orchestra. And so what we're doing is the orchestral score of this movie is actually going to be a hybrid score where it's going to be half MIDI and half the live performance. In that, it'll be all of it playing at the same time. So you're getting the very much on-the-grid performance of the MIDI stuff along with some of the sloppiness of a live orchestra. So, but you get that human feel of a live orchestra where it actually sounds like people playing instruments. Yeah, they were, because they had never played together.
He got cheap ones, did he?
He did. They'd never played together as an orchestra. They were merely a collection of musicians. This one played a violin, that one played, whatever. And they never got to rehearse together until the day of the recording.
So sloppy.
Yep. So there were some inaccuracies.
Sounds live.
Yeah. Yeah, it was you had to be there, spontaneity. So that's what we've been working on all this week. And basically I'm trying to get all of the musical score mixed before the end of the weekend, because next week is the week that I have earmarked for the final mix of the whole movie. So, it's been exciting.
Nice.
Been a lot of fun. Yeah. And your week?
Let's see. I was so tired. I took the kids to a lightning show today. right, where they generate lightning with a giant Tesla coil.
Nice.
And this thing puts out 120 decibels of sound.
Wow, that's
when
loud.
It's going off. I was asleep and nodded off.
Right. So it didn't keep you awake.
Of noises.
Yeah, right.
Just nodded off a little bit, you know. I've been so crazy busy with the kids, as we've done all sorts of, yeah, we went to planetariums and electric shows and to circuses and to play centres and the theme parks, and they went on the big Melbourne Eye, you know, the big Melbourne Star Wheel.
Cool.
Oh, it's just, they've killed me. I'm done in. Because when I got old, back mate. From overseas.
You're getting old.
Well, I got back from overseas, got off the plane, had a shower, took them to first one to a birthday party.
Right through
got
the
home,
keeper.
Took the next one to a birthday party. Yeah. The next day, another birthday party. Then it's 2 weeks of school holidays and nonstop. I haven't even looked at my photos yet. Right. 2 weeks in.
Yeah, right.
I have a bit. So I've been pretty crazy. But I have spent a little bit of time this week, just a little bit of time, doing some image dissections.
I was going to say, I've seen you putting graffiti all over your photos.
Yeah, so I've been thought people would, you know, when we did that little dissection of a couple of images on here.
Yeah.
I thought, well, maybe people would get.
You mean where you bag the crap out of everything I shot?
Yeah, I thought, well, people would enjoy me, yeah, critiquing my own images right. about where I think worked and where I think didn't work and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, right.
So I've been doodling on pictures for a couple of days. And just going through and trying to do like, you know, the same image with two or three different overlays, with showing either things like balance or elements that worked, elements that didn't work, repeating elements of why patterns, all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. So try to get people sort of an idea of what I see or what I not even see is probably the wrong word because I don't really.
I think
you've
just
really
done
see.
It so often it just becomes.
Yeah, you don't see
natural.
And you don't think, and I don't even think you consciously feel. Mm. You, it's like you just do with the stuff you know how to do.
Yeah.
Like with your sound,
yep.
you just do it instinctively. You do the right thing instinctively.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to give people a bit of a my viewpoint of why it works for me.
Yeah. It's that whole concept of, you know, your first 10,000 images are your worst. And
yeah,
I think you're well past that.
I think people are starting to they enjoy it. They see some value. And I've got a lot of nice feedback from people saying this is really helpful to their art, which is
cool.
good.
Excellent.
You can't ask for anything more than that, just to be able to help people along a bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've been doing that. Kids, I think that's about it.
All right.
I had a workshop last week, I think, for memory. I did.
Yeah.
I did. Just how to use your camera, so it was good, so it wasn't straining the brain too much. It was just, yeah, get up there and do it sort of thing. And, yeah, that's it. That's all done.
Awesome.
Oh, my Western Australian workshop sold out this week. That was a nice thing.
Oh, cool. When's that one?
November.
Nice. Good time of year to be over there too.
Yeah, it's not too hot, which is good. Just been invited maybe to go to Port Hedland next year and do a workshop series.
When?
That's, I'm probably looking at maybe possibly, when's the hard part because my schedule's so busy next year? It's possibly June.
Yeah.
Or it might be about, because I've also been invited this week to go to England.
Oh, wow.
In late September, early October. So that kind of makes things tougher. I get back from Myanmar in early August.
Yeah.
And then, so I'm thinking maybe end of the early September, mid-September, something, maybe go to England for that. Depends if the wife will let me.
Wow.
So, and trying to squeeze in this Port Hedland, which I love out back in rural Australia. I love doing events out of the cities. So if they can get together, it'd be awesome.
I find the interior of Australia so much more interesting than the coastal regions.
I just love I said I'm doing the series down in Warrnambool, I can't remember when, not November as well, the weekend before I go to Perth, and that's down on the coast of Victoria. I just love going to country towns or rural towns and doing workshops.
Yep.
Not many people go out there.
Yeah.
So the people don't know any better.
Yeah.
I think I'm good by default, which is always handy, you know.
You're the first one we've had. You're the first one we've had. You're the best.
Yeah, you're the best we've ever had. Yeah. You're setting the bar low, which is great. And they're happy to have anything, so they're awesome places to go to.
Yeah, right.
Yes, so the Warrnambool, I'm looking forward to the Warrnambool. I'm looking forward to the Perth ones. Right. If this England one comes off, it's funny, all the way to England for a weekend.
For a weekend?
Two days, yeah.
What?
Oh, no. So I was talking to a photographer friend of mine. We had the kids at the play centre during the week for 5 hours. Right. And all the school mums and me.
You know what you do when you go to England? You schedule the workshops for like 2 a.m. And that way you don't have to get your body clock out of whack.
Oh, my body clock. My body clock never suffers that stuff anyway. But okay. I'll say the one of the mums who's a photographer who travels a bit for work to do workshops as well. And she goes, oh, how long are you going for? I said, oh, just the weekend. She goes, mad. She goes, don't you put some time on for yourself? I said, no, I've got a couple of problems. First, that my brother lives in London.
Right.
So if I have any spare time, I'll have to see him.
Yeah.
That's a problem. Plus, all my relatives live a couple of hours north of London.
Right.
If I stay any longer, they'll all want to see me too. So we have to be very careful about how much time we allow.
Don't post anything on social media until you've left the country.
Quiet. And but I have also a couple of years ago, a year or so ago, been invited up to the Shetland Islands to do some stuff.
Right.
If I over there, they're going to get a grant and get me to go up to the Shetlands. And so I might try and swing together if I can do London and maybe the Shetland Islands at the same time. It'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, nice. How far up's that?
Oh, it's off the tip of Scotland.
Wow.
Top end. It's pretty wild and woolly sort of area.
Yeah.
So, incredible location. Incredible beauty, incredible ruggedness.
So the very tip of Scotland is St. John of Groats or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So it's up, off up that?
It's up there somewhere.
Wow, yeah. Cool.
Yeah. I don't know where. Very, I don't pay cool. much attention. Will you come? Yeah. Where is it? When is it? Oh, pretty easy. I'd have to have a look now. It's Shetland Islands. Look at the old Google maps. Could be to the left.
Right, so west.
Don't zoom in. I hate Google Maps when it does that.
I hate when they took away the zoom slider.
Yeah, and then now all of a sudden you move just a little bit and all of a sudden the whole thing goes to whack.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a fair way off. It's sort of, you know, have you heard of the Faroe Islands?
I've heard of them.
Well, let's put it this way. It's from the tip of Scotland over Norway. It's almost halfway between the two.
Oh, so it's east, not west.
It's the northeast.
Right.
It's a fair whack up there.
Yeah, right.
And, of course, I love little boats, so that'll be just fabulous. I'll have to fly in. So that'll be kind of cool. So that's been a busy week for that sort of stuff, yeah, which is right. kind of nice.
So how do they get you up there?
Well, I've got a feeling there's a plane.
Right.
I hope there's a plane. But the local council, I know a guy. It's funny how the world works. I know a guy in New Zealand, right, who runs a marketing company for photo stores.
Yeah.
Who knows the guy who runs the photo store, who bought the photo store on the Shetland Islands.
The one and only.
And when he started his business a couple of years ago, he wanted ideas of how to run a successful business. So I gave him a little bit of my ideas about teaching, and I gave him the templates to several of my workshops.
Right.
I said, look, insert your own images. This is how I run. I gave him another product to sell for free. Yeah, right. Just at the generous of my art. Because I'm a lovely guy that way. Don't tell anyone, just between me and you. And so ever since then, he's been trying to get me up there, but I've never been in England to get flown up that extra distance sort of thing. Right. So he's got a council grant organised or something to get me up there and do some stuff for the locals, which would be lovely. So if that all comes together, it's going to be a busy year.
It'd be a fantastic place to shoot.
Oh, so they've got these most amazing old ruined stone houses.
Oh, really?
Just fabulous, yeah. It's incredibly bleak and austere. Almost, like the moors in England. That sort of bleak sort of landscape, which would be fabulous. Yeah.
Wow.
And it's the same thing with the Port Hedland up in Western Australia.
Yep.
All the salt lakes and all that sort of stuff. Fabulous to shoot. You know, just this incredibly austere and stark landscapes would makes for fabulous photos. So, wow. Yeah, so very I've had a busy week on that kind of stuff, but it's all sort of been night time. Once the kids are in bed, I've been trying to do a bit of work.
Right.
Oh, dear. So, that's my week anyway. Not very exciting.
Oh, well, it'd be interesting if some of these come together.
It'll be fabulous, fabulous. Yeah. So it's all good. Well, I'll find out in a couple of days about the Port Hedland, I think, and I reckon that should come off. That sounds pretty good.
Nice.
Lovely area up there, so very nice.
So what do you got on your list?
Well, I came across this awesome thing called the camera restrictor.
Yeah, now I saw this, but I didn't really pay attention to it. So fill me in.
What this guy's done, he's made a 3D printable camera. So he's printed out his camera in 3D. It looks like one of the old Leica rangefinders, but it's actually an iPhone holder. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So So you insert your iPhone into this camera holder.
Right.
And it's got a GPS antenna and a GPS setup and a special software you run. And what it does is, let's say you're in New York and you're in, I don't know, Times Square.
Yep.
If you're pointing in the direction that too many photos have been taken and posted on the internet, it won't let you take a photograph.
Nice.
It analyzes as you're traveling around how many photos have been taken of an area, and hence the restrict a bit. It restricts you from shooting. Right.
You're being a photographic douche. Stop it.
Stop doing the cliche. No, come on. Look, here's 15 examples that are better than yours. Don't bother.
That is awesome.
I loved it. And the thing is, the Facebook page that I saw this posted on, people go, oh, this is the stupidest idea I've ever seen. They're really going to town. It was actually an art piece. It was made by this guy as an art project.
Yeah, right.
They're just going to town on it. I'm going, really? I mean, A, well, I'm just dropping my microphone. A, it just seems like a really cool idea.
Yeah.
And B, you know, stop being so serious. It's okay. You don't have to have one.
No, that's
if you don't like it, you don't got to buy it.
That's it.
Oh, something else did happen. A couple other things did happen this week too, as I think about it.
Oh, yeah.
I got a new Flash sponsor.
Oh, okay.
Nice. For new Flash guns and from the lovely people at Godox.
Right.
And you're going to say, who are Godox?
Who are Godox?
No idea.
Right.
I even Googled up the model number, the ones they're sending me, and couldn't find it. So.
Right. So do we dare mention your previous Flash sponsor?
I didn't have a Flash sponsor.
Oh.
I have a studio light sponsor. Their portable Flash sponsor.
Right.
That's the lovely people at Elinchrom.
Yeah.
I never had a speed light sponsor.
Ah, right.
So now I've got a speed light sponsor.
Right.
Unfortunately, they're imported by the same people who import Elinchrom. So it takes some of the stress away.
Right.
So imported by KL in Australia. So I'm doing the big photo show here in a couple of weeks and doing three Flash classes a day for 3 days. And they're supplying me all the gear for that. So
nice.
Yeah, so it'd be nice. I'm just hoping the Flashes get here in time.
Yeah, right. They work.
But one of the ones I do like, which I
pick them up at the show.
I don't know if I've got access to this particular model yet, but I'm going to have to try and pick up a couple. They have lithium battery powered ones.
Right.
So rechargeable lithiums rather than sticking with double A's all the time.
Oh, okay.
Which I think, once again, depending on how effective it is, could be an awesome concept.
Yeah, right.
So not quite as easy if you run out of batteries in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Let's hop into a shop and pick up some more, but it could be kind of cool.
Yeah. Interesting.
And their Flash trigger system looks pretty cool too for doing TTL and all that sort of stuff. So
right.
I'll be having a bit of a gander and play over the next week or two when they arrive.
Nice.
And next week I'm picking up the new LED flashes for iPhone.
Oh, wow.
So little flashes and little that trigger with the iPhone and stuff. I don't know.
Picking up from where?
The same people who do the LED light cube, the IC12 guys.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay.
So I'm going to pick up a set of those next week and have a play with them. And because I love using my iPhone.
Yeah.
And this could be just... But I've always lamented not being able to control the light. So it could be kind of cool.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So tell us about the TV news guy at the footy.
I was at the footy training last week with my daughter, watching my team train before they went to get demolished in the football.
Right.
And... I was watching this Sky News sports guy, the guy who's I'm at the ground and I'm blah 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 talking. Well, the poor guy's got to do everything himself now.
Why?
He's in a little tiny, like a little mini, kind of tiniest little car you can get, cheapest thing to run. Yeah, he's got to set up his own tripod, his own camera, do his own sound, right?
Wow.
Do his own makeup. He's got to put his own diffusing panels up to soften the light. He's got to do everything because they're all a one man show now.
Wow.
So there's this Sky News, and it's just one person.
Wow.
And he's trying to get it all up and going by himself, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah, right.
In the way. And then, whilst I was thinking about that, I came across this thing where this TV station in Sweden
has put
all their crew and their cameras and replaced them with iPhones and selfie sticks. Reporters are going to hold the stand there with the selfies.
Oh, that is just so fraught with danger.
With my selfie stick. It's going to be hard to take serious.
Yeah.
And that sort of led on from there to this amazing half-hour TV report that's completely filmed on an iPhone 5.
Oh, wow.
still phoning it in. And I'll pull that link up there. And this guy, and he's done some great stuff. It's a, he did like a, I think he did like a, the first couple of minutes of video footage himself, and then tried, and then sold the idea to his bosses.
Yeah, right.
That, you know, you really could do a whole thing just with your iPhone. And the guy's got some video skills as far as, you know, he knows how to do the, you know, the nice slow pans, all the good interesting stuff. And so I've only watched the first few minutes, but it looks really cool. And the whole thing's shot on an iPhone 5.
Wow.
It's not even as good as the iPhone 6 or the new 6S.
Yeah, right.
Or the 6S Plus.
Right.
Which is, called, yeah, Plus, because it must be even better.
Must be.
So this guy, so here comes the link for that. I'll put that as a YouTube video there. It goes for half an hour. I've deleted the whole page, and I didn't hit copy properly. Don't you hate it when you do that? So it's called Phoning It In. It's on YouTube. So that's kind of cool. I just like the way he's filmed the whole thing. It really shows what can be done with an iPhone as far as quality of look, as far as A, watching it on a computer, and B, how cool it looks as far as effects and stuff goes.
Yeah, right.
And that then led me on to...
Now, hang on, before you go on...
Yeah?
The whole thing about the, you know, TV stations getting rid of the, you know, camera guy and all that sort of stuff and sending the reporter out with a selfie stick and an iPhone makes me wonder how long before...
How long's the selfie stick?
Before the reporters have one of those... drone cameras that will always keep them in the shot.
Just follow them.
And they can walk along the street and the
imagine that, steady, walking down and watching them get run over by cars.
And the drone will just keep on filming them and keep them in the centre of the frame the whole time.
Certainly their steadily dying body in the middle of the street. Here's the link to that, Swiss TV station. Apparently a US station tried to do it a couple of years ago.
Right.
But found that the viewers were turning off because the footage was so bad.
Right.
So that's kind of, it'd be interesting to watch. Man, just what a crazy world.
It is.
And that led me on to this other article about this NFL photographer who normally goes up to the footy with his mega cameras and his 600mm lenses and stuff. And he shot the entire NFL game just with an iPhone 6.
Yeah, wow.
iPhone 6S Plus. Let's get it completely right. And some of the stuff's pretty crap, but some of it's really good. And he said, look, you know, shooting the low light stuff when in like with high ISO, it was a bit noisy, but still the quality was more than usable, which is kind of cool.
Yep.
And that then led me on again, still in the world of iPhones, to the remember I talked about the photographer I met the other week in Vietnam is going off with Malcolm Ken Kamineski.
Yeah.
Well, he's been posting up on his Facebook page all these photographs he's been doing with his iPhone.
Right.
It's not only one every couple of days, but we were both shooting together. We were setting up apps and doing stuff together, and we both love the Hipstamatic app. And so we're sort of using this particular film and this particular lens because it works really well. And he's been shooting all these shots just with this one film and lens combination, and the shots just look awesome. And we're having a little talk via the internet, as you do, about the great thing about shooting with the iPhone is it's a bit, especially with this Hipstamatic where it does all the work for you, you just get a finished result.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like shooting film. Yeah. You get what you get.
Right.
The end result is the end result. You get what you get, you don't get upset. Sometimes it's going to be good, sometimes it's going to be bad. There's no, how am I going to put this in my raw file into Photoshop and slap the living daylights out of it? It's that's it. That's the end result. Bang.
So does Hipstamatic not give you a lot of options in terms of what you're going to tweak?
Well, it does. Funny if it's just changed this week, can you believe? It used to be. So the app basically is you have a whole range of different lenses which give you different effects that you can put on. So it's sort of faux digital lenses, but very cool. A whole range of different films you can put into the camera. It's like a little camera box. It's an awesome app. I've been using it for years.
Right.
It's like, it emulates a camera called the Hipstamatic, which is a film camera that was invented basically to go into places like Walmart and things like that in America. It was going to be a cheap plastic camera with interchangeable lenses and a range of cheap lenses to go on the front. And it would give.
Okay.
It was back before the days of the Holger and all that sort of stuff. It was going to be huge. And Walmart said, we love this. We're signing up for it. And they'll put this massive order in for them.
Yeah.
So the guys who invented it said, we need a decent manufacturing plant to make this, get these orders working. So they went and found the perfect location to sign the contract. And driving out of the driveway from signing the contract, got hit by a truck and killed both of them.
Ow.
So all that was ever left was these prototypes they had.
Wow.
And so someone, this is way back in the early, as I've been using this for, I don't know, at least 6 or 7 years, I'd say, which is a long time in the world.
Digital world, yeah.
Yeah, that somebody digitized the concept of, it's called the Hipstamatic, and made it that little camera with the interchangeable lenses, and they modeled it, and the effects that they was getting from the original samples that they could find.
Wow.
And they've been adding to it ever since. So it's a seriously cool app.
Yeah, right.
And so basically, whatever lens and film choice you had, it gave you an end result, and that's kind of where you're at. Now, you could put it into some other app and fiddle with it, but it gave you a finished product, and the finished product was often astoundingly good.
Yeah, right.
Just this week, however, they've upgraded the app where now you can have control over shutter speed and white balance and all sorts of stuff. Right. And you can post-process images afterwards. So you can, I don't like the lens choice I had there. You can then try the same image with different lenses or with different films.
Right.
Which, once again, throws so many choices and too many choices and too much options at the person. So it slows the whole shooting process down.
Right.
Again. The good thing about keeping it simple with that Hipstamatic is, you know, it was like shooting film. Yeah, you got this end result, and yeah, you loved it or hated it, but that's what it was.
Yeah.
And some of my favourite photos of my kids I've taken, just that sort of candid stuff, have all been taken with this app.
Yeah, right.
And so it's a great app. So Ken's been posting some amazing photographs, you know, just beautiful shots.
Cool.
I'll pull one up just so we're talking. We'll put it into the link, my favourite one of his from the week.
Okay.
And where is it? Facebook.com. Ken Kamenensky. Oh, that's not going to work if you just add it all. Well, I'm good at this computer stuff. if you just start writing it on the end of somebody else's name, it doesn't actually do anything. So have a look at that shot.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's the end result from the app.
Cool.
Okay. So it's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's got a great feel. It's got some great emotiveness to it. Great interest.
Yep. Some nice ragged edges, like an old print.
The result. It's using sort of emulating an old fashioned plate film kind of look. Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah. So I love the old Hipstamatics. And I remember years ago I was running a work. This is when I first discovered it. I was running a workshop in the alleys of Melbourne, and we had these models and these alleys and this graffiti lined alleys. And off-camera flash setups and all sorts of stuff. And I pulled out my phone to use this app for the first time at a workshop. I took a couple of shots. And everyone's going, what's that? And then all the half of the photographers from the workshop stopped in the laneway, started downloading the app themselves. And then we shot most of the workshop with this bloody app. Oh, man, it was funny stuff. So, anyway, so Hipstamatic is certainly my most favourite iPhone app.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so yeah, that's sort of going to be a funny week of iPhone, and by chance, my phone contract ran out today, so I've got to get a new phone anyway. The new Apple iPhone 6S-3.6, whatever it's called now, supposed to have an amazing lens and amazing quality, so I'm looking forward to trying that out.
It's probably has an amazing price tag, too.
I'll say $1,300.
I could build a kick-ass desktop machine for that.
Yeah, make phone calls with it. They make that. Yeah, they do phone calls too, these things.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Amazing.
The last thing I came across this week for the phone was poochselfie.com.
Right. Do I even want to know?
Well, it's an iPhone attachment that you stick to the top of your phone where you can put different dog toys. So when you're taking your dog, the dog looks at the phone because it's got its favourite ball or whatever. Because you can't just hold it there, of course, can you?
That's it.
Apparently there's all sorts of ones for kids and babies and stuff as well. You can attach to your phone. But then I came across this thing called Tiny Moss.
Right.
And with the big blood moon of this week and blood moon and the eclipse that's happening in the US this week.
Yeah.
This is. I still don't really understand the product. I haven't had time to really look into it a huge amount. But they want to do for astrophotography what GoPro did for action cameras.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of their blurb, and they're going to be putting it on crowdsourcing. But it's this little tiny camera that apparently is going to have interchangeable lenses.
Right.
Supposedly. I'm looking at the sample pictures. They look pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
I just think they might be having a bit of a watch out for. It's going to be going on. There's been lots of news broadcasts and all sorts of stuff, people talking about it the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, right.
And they flew to America, the people who are making this, to photograph the blood moon with it.
Right.
So, yeah, it could be a if you're into kind of cool little gadgety cameras, it could be kind of cool.
All right.
It's interesting.
So what's behind the name, Tiny Moss? What's
it? Well,
what's
the moss? Camera's tiny.
Yeah. What's Moss?
It's Moss.
Okay.
It's a three-man startup in Singapore working on a small aluminium shell camera aimed at astronomy buffs.
Hmm.
Don't know why it's aimed at astronomy buffs specifically.
Hmm.
Obviously, I think you might be able to do other things with it as well. Possibly
yep.
not. But they've got some cool sort of video stuff going on, that the time-lapse stuff they've done with it.
Oh, I guess they're obviously astronomy buffs themselves, and therefore they've decided to take their love and develop the niche. And that's fair enough too.
Apparently they've built the sensor around low noise,
yep.
High detail sort of stuff is kind of their goal.
Yeah.
But they've raised over $300,000 in funding so far.
Nice.
Yeah, from government, Singapore government funded them and other investors and stuff. So it might have some legs. You never know.
Oh, well.
It's once again, it's just...
Watch this space.
As we keep saying, we live in interesting times for photography where there's so much niche stuff going on.
Yeah.
That it's really quite fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then I came across this really cool little article.
Yeah.
About this person who dropped their beloved and fairly new Canon 24mm 1.4 lens. Like, they just got it, smashed it onto the ground.
Right.
And then put it on the camera to see how badly stuffed up it was, and it wouldn't autofocus anymore, and it wouldn't really manual focus anymore, $1,600 down the toilet. Yeah. And then started taking some photos, and it gave them a whole new viewpoint of the world from how they normally shoot. And this person's style, if you want to call it that, beforehand was really quite cool. The photos that it's taken. But there's now this new viewpoint of this totally mangled up lens has given him a whole new creative outlet, which is because it's unpredictability of what he's going to get result wise. And
he's shooting with the lens.
He started shooting with the lens. He's doing this whole project going around photographing this destroyed lens.
Yeah, right.
And as you look down, if you look down through the link,
yep.
It starts off with the stuff that he does as a regular, normal stuff.
Right.
And then it starts going into the stuff that this lens is producing.
Oh, right.
So his actual normal work's really kind of nice.
Yep.
And then it goes kind of, oh, that's kind of screwed up. Some of it's really good. Some of it's a bit, But really weird aberrations, really.
Yeah.
But kind of cool.
Yeah.
Still at the same time. And there's a great one I love. The guy holding a cigarette, or it might be a joint because it's from Amsterdam.
Yeah. With the pool table.
It's manually rolled. And the pool table, it's very cool.
Yeah.
So it's getting some really bizarre and interesting effects. And it's totally changed his focus and how he shoots.
I really like the one of the guy with the ukulele out on the street.
Mm. I like the one below it. It's kind of angelic or something.
Yeah, right.
Like something really weird. It's almost like it's got wings coming out of his left-hand side.
Oh, there's some very cool stuff here.
Yeah, so I've said this a few times in the past, that the problem with having a lot of photographic skills is all your photos come out the way you expect them to.
Yeah.
It's just both a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
And the curse is it kind of kills a lot of creativity.
Yeah.
Or unpredictability, shall we say.
Yep.
And this thing's given this guy back unpredictability.
Yeah, nice.
And therefore, it's this wind of fabulous change. I can imagine exactly how he's feeling, because it's like, man, this is so cool. And that's why I can see how lens babies can work and all this sort of stuff, which give you a different viewpoint than you would normally get.
Yeah, right.
And that's why I go off the top about stuff like Hipstamatic and about Holgers and all this sort of odd gear.
Yeah.
It's not about the quality of the result, but it's unpredictable nature, and it's different viewpoints than the way you see things all the time.
Yeah.
And so I love what this guy's doing with this, and I'm sure he's having a ball.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that really tickled my mouth. Then I thought, well, look how much stuff I've destroyed over the last couple of years. I could have had a whole new career, Bob. I should have been shooting with this stuff, you know. I've still got a few bung lenses around the place. After school holidays, I have to pull them out and see what I get. Funniest thing I saw all week?
Yeah.
Remember that guy who had his camera stolen by the monkeys and they did all the selfies?
Yeah.
And then he tried. Then the stock libraries were stealing his photos. Said, "No, you didn't take the photos." Well, Peter, the animal protection people are suing on behalf of the monkeys.
Oh, what?
They're suing for the monkeys for the rights.
Oh, that's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. The monkeys don't care.
But if they get the money, they're going to put it back into. I don't know.
It should be into primate conservation.
But if they prevail in the lawsuit, it'll be the first time a non-human animal is declared the owner of property.
Yeah, right.
Rather than being declared a piece of property himself or herself.
Yeah, right.
So it's kind of interesting.
Very.
Yeah. Very interesting. So something that's going to be... Peter was going to launch a porn site? That could be a whole different article altogether. We don't think of that one.
Stop reading The Onion. dear.
But that's something that's definitely worth keeping an eye on, that Peter thing. It's going to be very interesting.
Very.
The last thing, and this absolutely blew me away, and I found it just before we came on air,
yeah,
is that NASA have started, I've got a Flickr page, which that's down to me anyway, but they've just uploaded thousands of photographs from the Apollo missions.
Wow.
That have never been shown anywhere.
Wow.
They've scanned all these different... There's 144 in this folder, 124, 130. Goodness. And all these amazing, unseen, apparently, but it sounds like unprocessed films that have finally been processed and scanned.
So hang on, 154... So there's like...
There's a lot of folders.
300, 600. There's about 900 images just of Apollo 12.
Yeah, that no one's seen.
What?
I know.
That's epic.
And so they've just launched this thing on. And it's like, that is just astounding, you know?
Wow.
Because, I mean, the amount of time it would take to fake all these in that studio where they did the launch.
Oh, wow.
No, actually, part of the planetarium was at today once again proved that man did land on the moon.
Yeah.
Because they're talking about how they can fire lasers at the mirrors left on the moon by the astronauts.
Wow.
Out. Because they fire lasers up to the moon. Because
yeah,
they know exactly how fast light travels.
Yep.
They can keep a track exactly on how far away the moon is from the Earth.
Yeah, right.
Apparently it's moving away about 4 centimetres a year. It's moving further away.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they reckon a couple of billion years, we'll lose it altogether. It'll lose...
Yep, it'll be out of the gravitational pull.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So it's going to change things quite a bit.
Did I ever tell you about the photograph that Rosalie had outside of her office?
Who's Rosalie?
Rosalie was the lady that I photographed on the...
That might be a no. Oh, from the volcano.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So after I took that photo and I said to her, I'll email it to you when I get back to Australia. I got back to Australia and I emailed it to her and she was absolutely... ecstatic at the photo, and she said to me via email, if you're ever in California and you want to have a look through the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, you know, let me know. And as it happened, a couple of years later, we were over there.
And you did.
And so we got in touch, and she gave us a tour through. And just as we were starting off, she said, oh, I've got to go up to my office. I've got to fill in some paperwork regarding you guys coming through the facility because you're not American citizens and just the whole security thing. And we were like, oh, yeah, that's fine. So we went into this elevator and we went up to like the 8th floor of this building, which was where her office was. And we've stepped out of the elevator and outside the elevator was this photographic print hanging on the wall. And I swear this thing was about 5 feet square.
Yeah.
Right. And it was just this massive round crater. And she's pointed at it and she's gone, this is, and she probably told me the name of the crater, and it was one of the craters on Mars. And she pointed to this little area that, you know, on this print that was, you know, 5 foot square, this was maybe an inch square. So, you know, a couple of centimeters square. And she said, that is the Mars rover sitting on the rim of this crater. It was epic.
Man.
The resolution was just phenomenal.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway.
The most amazing blood moon shot I saw this week, and I couldn't find the actual shot
right
in the link I followed
to
get it. was the blood moon during its eclipse, yeah. right, with the International Space Station tracking across the front of it.
Oh, nice.
So you got this, it's multiple shots, so you've got this, like, there's like 10 of these International Space Stations growing across the moon as it's going in eclipse. I mean, that's a hell of a shot.
Lovely.
Yeah, I love that space stuff.
Yeah.
And I was sitting in the planetarium today, and they sort of zoomed out into space, and you're in this big black massive screen effectively around you, and there's the Earth floating below you. It felt... You know, it had that feeling of, wow, this must be what it actually feels like.
Yeah, right.
Except my stomach wasn't in my mouth. But, yeah, it had that really that awe-inspiring feeling of, wow, and looking down on the planet. And because it's so big and so, you know, your entire vision's taken up with it. I love planetariums.
I watched some YouTube videos probably a year ago now of interviews with astronauts who universally all said the same thing. They said, when you go out into space and you look back and you can see the entire Earth in one view, you know, as a circle rather than as, you know, a flat piece of ground that extends in all directions beneath your feet, it gives you just this amazing respect for the planet we live on and an awareness of the fragility of it.
Yeah.
It was really interesting to hear all of these astronauts all came back with exactly the same feeling. Anyway, sorry.
I love it. I love it. Talk about spacey stuff for ages.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ever since I was a young lad, I think I was about 15, I went to the planetarium for the first time. It was with school, so it must have been 14.
Right.
And I went there and I saw the beauty.
Yep.
Of this girl sitting of another school just across the planetarium chairs, and she looked at me and I looked at her, and it was a moment.
Yeah, right.
And I got a number.
Yeah.
And I went out with her for 3 months. If it's in the beauty of the planetariums, it held sway in my eyes. Oh, that's a good school trip, that one.
Excellent.
So what else is on the list of things?
The only thing that I came across, and I can't remember where, I think someone posted this in the Sony Alpha Users group on Facebook, and this was, Sony have got a patent in the works, it hasn't been approved yet, but basically they're looking at a new technology which will be a combination of phase detection autofocus and contrast detection autofocus.
So a hybrid?
Yes. Is that not what I said? No, I said combination. Yes, hybrid, absolutely.
Oh, well, yes, I used a far more impressive sounding terminology. Yeah.
You being the technically literate one, I can understand. So, it's a very technical article. I've skimmed through it. I haven't had a chance to read the whole thing, but...
Hey, what, you're saving for some special reading time? You've got some quiet time alone.
That's right.
Oh, I really want to sit down and read this one. It's all about, whatever. Who knows what kind of fast hybrid autofocus.
Yeah. It looks interesting. So
maybe live in interesting times.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it wouldn't matter if it was that or if it was something else. You know, the technology just keeps getting better and better and better.
I saw something technical this week that's about photography, and I've gone, oh, my God, Bruce would just love that.
Yeah.
But it was so disinteresting to me. It was so boringly, mind-numbingly killing me.
You passed on it.
I couldn't even jump it, cut, copy-paste.
Now, Adam sent us a few good
what it was. No, it was a blog post on how Flickr's compression algorithm has changed from 2012 to 2015. Oh, Bruce would love that.
No, I don't think I would. I think you were right to let that one go through to the keeper. This was a story that Adam sent us on the Facebook wall from Petapixel. After a controversy, a high school now makes students sign work-for-hire contracts. And basically the story is that back in May of this year, 2015, this kid, who had used the school's camera equipment, had been posting the images that he had shot to his own social media channels.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what the content of those images was, but the school took issue with it and basically tried to get copyright ownership of the work, which was denied to them. So in a sort of a retaliatory move, I guess you could say, they are now making the students
sign contracts before they can use the school's camera equipment, which essentially guarantees the school the copyright ownership of the works that are captured with those cameras. And the fine print of those contracts says that the images can only be displayed on the school network or, you know, on the school's social media channels and that sort of thing.
I wonder why they think this is needed.
I don't know. But my initial thinking was, I kind of understand where the school's at. I can appreciate that, you know, it's school property. It's not your camera to go and do what you please with. You know, it should, in theory, be used by the students in the course of doing, you know, their photographic coursework. So I kind of understand to a degree. It sounds very draconian, making students sign contracts.
Let's say you had to produce a portfolio of images for your school.
Yeah.
And you have to use the school's darkroom to, because using film to to develop and enlarge the photos.
Yeah.
We're using their equipment.
Yeah.
They have rights to the photos. Rubbish. Yeah. You should be able to say, well, these are my photos, but it doesn't matter if I used your gear. It's my artistic talent that took the photograph. They're assuming because the camera was the thing that took the photograph, it was the thing that invented the idea of the image that was taken.
Hmm.
I mean, imagine anyone who studies photography now, and they use any form of equipment which happens a lot. They use equipment at the college or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, they don't own any of those images.
Well,
madness.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of get it. I think you should have you should be providing your own camera. Then
There's no problem. The school providing stuff that's been happening for forever. Yeah, when I went to school, I'm sure that maybe it wasn't I went to school. After I went to school, there was people who were going to school, because I didn't go very often, people who were going to school who'd use the school's camera.
Yeah.
And they'd buy the film from the teacher.
Right.
And they'd develop the photos in the school. But that's their art. Yeah. It's like going to Ben's camera hire, hiring a camera. Taking the world's most famous photo, he goes, oh, hang on a sec. Nah, actually, that was my camera. I think I might want a piece of this. Slip us 20%, thanks.
Mm. Yeah,
it's
okay.
If you write something phenomenal with a pencil you borrowed from the same school,
yep,
are you no longer allowed to publish that amazing piece of work?
That's a because you borrowed their pencil. Reasonable question.
It's the same principle, isn't it? You know.
Yep.
Actually, it might be a different principle if he keeps that sort of rubbish. Oh, that's such a bad joke.
Anyway.
But yeah, I'll have to, interesting, but I think it's completely mad at the school. Now, I understand if he's doing inappropriate stuff, but you don't require this. Anyway, I think it's madness. Madness.
The next one was about Rapper T.I.
Oh, yeah, Rapper T.I.
borrowing an image that his people, because it wasn't him, according to him.
Yeah.
It was his people who found this image on the web and appropriated it.
They always cause problems.
Was that?
He might have people, but it always caused problems.
Yeah. So appropriated this image illegally for the use of a birthday party invitation for T.I., apparently. I love the way they reversed the image horizontally, like that was going to confuse everybody.
I remember there used to be this thing. People who think, oh, if I change the image by more than 20%, it's no longer their work. It's now a new piece of art. There was something going in my head about that belief for a while. I don't know how true it is or not it is, but
Anyway.
All fun and games.
Next one was the story, and I did see this in a couple of places around the web during the week, about the photographer in Oakland in California who her house got broken into and thieves shot through with 21 hard drives featured the last 10 years of her photographic work, which is pretty nasty. I think all of us would be fairly upset, except for Glenn doesn't care about his photos. To lose 10 years worth of images, that would be pretty harsh,
I reckon.
I thought immediately that this comes back to this whole notion of you should have three backups, you know, two local, or at least a working copy and a local backup, and then an off-site backup.
Yeah.
And I am the worst of that because I don't have an off-site backup. I have a copy on the computer and I have a hard drive in the cupboard, which is backed up every month from the computer.
Is that cupboard lockable?
No. No. And if a fire came through the house, then, you know, a lock wouldn't stop it.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, put it in a fireproof box.
Yes. So maybe I should keep the hard drives, you know, down in the cellar with the wine or something like that, where they're at least a little bit further away from this room. So
yeah,
there's at least some distance between the computer where one copy lives and the hard drives where the other copies live.
Yeah, I remember seeing something. What did I say? That's right. I posted something on Facebook this week about it was like a little meme about, you know, there's a picture of a 5 1/4 inch floppy and a 3 1/2 inch and a zip drive. And yeah, this zip drive, it was discontinued 10 years ago. Good luck trying to access it.
Yeah.
And then there's this picture from 1885.
Yeah.
You know, it's still there and still accessible and still able to be used and stuff. And
yeah.
I actually had a photo printed this week.
Really?
Yeah, I
know. Right.
It's an accident.
Were you against white wall with black lines across it?
No, this company wanted to use one of my images from Vietnam on like a 45-inch metal, print on metal.
Yeah, nice.
And give to me to demonstrate at the show when I'm doing the show in a couple of weeks.
Oh, it was this like prints to metal?
It's exactly them, print to metal.
Yeah, nice.
Which, by the way,
I love their product is beautiful. Hey?
They've got 15% off at the moment.
Yeah, right. Their product is amazing.
I've never seen it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. I know Brie owns the company really well.
Yeah, no, it looks amazing. You get a really nice landscape with some really nice vibrant colours, and those metal prints look amazing.
Well, I've got one of my the old guy rowing the boat in the river in Vietnam.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, 45 inches. So
yeah, nice. That will look amazing.
Hopefully.
They were exhibiting up here when the, you know, PMA show was on, you know, like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I remember interviewing one of the guys from there and talking to them about their product back then. And yeah, it was a stunning looking product even then. So yeah, nice, nice. And the last one that Adam sent us, another Petapixel one. Adam, you've really got to find some other sources than Petapixel, mate. Jeez.
Yeah, that's our source. Keep away from it.
This was a story about a photographer, Ralph Clevenger, who admittedly composited a couple of images together, but the final composite image, which shows an iceberg, two-thirds of which is under the ocean and one, you know, whatever the ratio is.
There's a lot under and a bit on top.
Yes.
Yeah.
This image, even though it's a composite, has been sold to stock libraries and then on-sold to clients and has netted this guy over $900,000, which is not bad for an image that looks as fake as.
Not bad for one photo, eh?
I reckon.
Sheesh.
So I remember the very first time I saw it, I just went, oh, God, that's so fake. But
yeah. Someone sent me a photo via Facebook of the blood moon rising over in Iceland or something.
Yeah.
I've gone... He goes, oh, look, this is the best photo I've seen, the blood moon. I've gone, yeah, but it's completely fake.
Yeah.
Because what do you mean? It's a complete composite. There's no way does that happen in reality.
No. Yeah.
it's a nice image.
I think most of the images I saw of the blood moon this week were composites.
Yeah. But this was an astounding looking image. It was like a science fiction picture.
I have no doubt.
Yeah, but, you know, it's come. But I can see, if you're trying to photograph an iceberg, you know, especially one that's that big, I can't think of any way you could possibly do it that it wouldn't be composite.
Yeah.
You know, there couldn't be multiple images put together. Well, so
the other thing, too, is that when you look at that composite image, the light's all wrong. Like, the bit that's under the water is being lit from hell, like from the depths of the ocean. It's like, well, what's the light source that's lighting the bottom of the iceberg?
Yeah.
Have you looked at the image?
No.
Too much effort.
You could have like fully click a link or something, don't you?
fully
click.
Yes, you actually have to push down on the mouse button and then release
it. Fully click. Yeah, so here it comes.
It's fully click, bro.
Then it's too small. Then you have to watch the video and there's no big
You don't have to watch the video. You can just look at the thumbnail of the video because the image is in the background.
My eyes are not good enough for that.
But the lighting is all wrong. Like, I mean, it was... You know.
Oh, yes, fake as.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'll take the money.
I'm just jealous.
Yeah, take the money, though.
All right, mate. Well, I think that's about it for this week.
That's enough of our waffle for another week.
Oh,
late-breaking news.
Two more things.
Jesus
Christ. Happy birthday to Milena.
Me? Who?
Milena.
Fighter?
Michelle, yes. Michelle.
Happy
birthday to you. We can sing that now because it's out of copyright. It's no longer a copyrighted work.
I think the lyrics never were in copyright, but the tune was.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
If you sing, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, that's okay. Yeah, it's not in the lyrics. It's not the melody of.
So happy birthday for this week gone by, Milena.
Have you been stalking her Facebook or something?
No, well, I mean, I see her on Facebook because she's a friend of mine on Facebook.
Well, then she's a friend of mine. That's not very nice.
There you go. I can't help that.
That is just...
favoritism.
It's just disgraceful that she's not a friend of mine. And she... Oh, no, she is. Oh, yeah. I knew that.
But the last thing, you have some news for us.
Do I?
You do.
Yes, I do. The news is there's no news.
Dude. Pass the camera. Pass the camera.
If I could, I know. The news is there's no news.
Oh.
I found it.
Right.
News.
And?
I didn't tell you last week. Here's a funny thing. So we're out shooting in Vietnam last day.
You're a politician the way you dodge that. Yeah, come on.
No, we're at a couple of days before the end of the trip in a place called the Temple of Literature. And we're setting up this flash shot.
Yeah.
And I've carried this bag of flash accessories around for the entire week, not used it once.
Right.
Come the day when I decide I need something from it, guess who's left it back at the hotel? I'm going, oh, damn, I need either a grid or at the very least a snoot to make the shot work.
Yeah, right.
And they're going, oh, damn, what can I do? Aha! The film box, the box from the film camera. So I pull the disposable camera out, rip the ends off, shove that over the flash, snoot!
Instant snoot.
Perfect.
Nice.
It got used quite, very handy. yeah, I'll get onto that next week, promise.
Okay.
School holidays finish soonish. Not soon enough, and then we're on, then we're Bob's your auntie. And we're on the way.
Excellent.
Is that
all
it?
Right. That's it. We're done.
That's it. Having said that, let me say this.
He's hung up. All right. Till we speak with you next. Take care.
Shutters Inc. Another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.